14. Sebastian reached the raft and grasped the rope that hung in loops around its sides. He paused to regain his breath before hauling himself up to lie gasping, the blood-warm seawater streaming from his sodden clothing, and watched the shape of the battle cruiser recede into the west.
"Master, help me!"
The voice roused him and he sat up. Mohammed was struggling, dragging Finn and the sack through the water. Among the floating wreckage, a dozen others of the crew and the bearers were flapping their way towards the raft. The weaker swimmers were already failing, their cries becoming more pitiful as they splashed more frenzied. There were oars roped to the slatted deck of the raft. Quickly, Sebastian cut one loose with his hunting knife and began rowing towards the pair. His progress was slow, for the raft was an ungainly bitch that balked and swung away from the thrust of the oar. An Arab crewman reached the raft and scrambled aboard, then another and another. Each of them freed an oar and helped with the rowing. They passed the body of one of the bearers floating just below the surface, both its legs cut off above the knees, and the bones sticking out of the ragged meat of the stumps. This was not the only one. There was other human flotsam among the scattered wreckage, and the pinky brown stains that drifted away on the current attracted the sharks. The Arab beside Sebastian saw the first one and called out, pointing with the oar. It came hunting, its fin waggling from side to side as it tacked up against the current, so that they could sense its excitation, the cold, unthinking excitement of Ucelici hunger. Below the surface, distorted and dark, showed the tapering length of its body, not a big one, perhaps 9 feet in length and 400 pounds in weight, but big enough to chop a leg with one bite. No longer guided by the drift of blood taste, picking up on the vibrations of the swimmers, it straightened and came in on its first run. "Shark!" Sebastian yelled at Flynn and Mohammed, where they floundered 10 yards away. And both of them panicked, no longer making for the raft. They tried to clamber onto the sack of corks. Terror has no logic. Their only concern was to lift their dangling legs from the water, but the sack was too small, too unstable, and their panic attracted the shark's attention. It veered towards them, showing the full height of its curved triangular fin, each sweep of its tail breaking the surface as it drove in. "This way!" shouted Sebastian. "Come to the raft!" He was hacking at the water with the oar, while beside him the Arabs worked in equal dedication. "This way, Flynn! For God's sake! This way!" His voice penetrated their panic, and once more they struck out for the raft, but the shark was closing fast, long and dappled by sunlight through the surface ripple. The sack was still tied to Flynn's body, and its resistance to the water slowed them as it dragged behind. The shark swerved and made its first pass. It seemed to hump up out of the water and its mouth opened. The upper jaw bulged out, the lower jaw gaped, and the multiple rows of teeth came erect like the quills of a porcupine, and it hit the sack. Locking its jaws into the coarse jute material, worrying it, still humped out of the water, shaking its blunt head clumsily, scattering a spray of water drops that flew like shattered glass in the sun. "Grab here," commanded Sebastian, leaning out to offer the blade of the oar to the pair in the water. They clutched at it with the strength of fear, and Sebastian drew them in. But the sack and the shark were still attached to Flynn. Its thrashing threatened to break Flynn's hold on the lifeline around the raft. Dropping to his knees, Sebastian fumbled the knife from its sheath and sawed at the rope. It parted. The shark, still worrying the sack, worked away from the raft, and Sebastian helped the Arabs to drag first Flynn and then Mohammed over the side. They were not finished yet. There were still half a dozen men in the water. Realizing its error at last, the shark relinquished its hold on the sack. It backed away. For a moment, it hung motionless, puzzled. Then it circled out towards the nearest sound of splashing. One of the gun boys clawed at the water in an exhausted dog paddle. The shark hit him in the side and pulled him under. Moments later, he reappeared, his mouth an open pink cave as he screamed, the water about him clouded dark red-brown by his own blood. Again he was pulled under as the shark hit his legs, but again he floated. This time face down, wriggling feebly, and the shark circled him, dashing in to chop off a mouthful of his flesh, backing away to gulp it down before coming in again. Then there was another shark, two more, ten, so many that Sebastian could not count them, as they circled and dived in ecstatic greed, until the sea around the raft trembled and swirled in agitation. Sebastian and his Arabs managed to drag two more of the crew into the raft, and they had a third half out of the water, when a 6-foot white pointer shot up from the depths and fastened on his thigh with such violence that it almost jerked all of them overboard. But they steadied themselves and held on to the man's arms, frozen in this gruesome tug of war, while the shark worried the leg, so dog-like in its determination that Sebastian expected it to growl. Little Mohammed staggered to his feet, snatched up an oar and swung it against the pointed snout with all his strength. They had dragged the shark's head from the water, and the oar fell on it with a series of rubbery thumps, but the shark held on. Fresh, bright blood squirted and trickled from the leg in its jaws, running down the shark's glistening, snake-like head into the open slits of its gill covers.
"Hold him!" gasped Sebastian and drew his knife.
The raft, rocking crazily under him, he leaned over the man's outstretched body and drove the knife blade into the shark's expressionless little eye. It popped in a burst of clear fluid, and the shark stiffened and trembled. Sebastian withdrew the blade and stabbed into the other eye. With a convulsive gulp, the shark opened its jaws and slid back into the sea to meander blindly away. There were no more swimmers. The little group on the raft huddled together and watched the shark pack milling hungrily, seeming to sniff at the tainted water as they gathered the last morsels of meat. The shark victim hosed the deck with his severed femoral artery and died before any of them could rouse themselves to apply a tourniquet.
"Push him over," grunted Flynn.
"No," Sebastian shook his head.
"Christ's sake, we're crowded enough as it is. Chuck the poor bastard over."
Later on, not now. Sebastian could not stand to watch the shark squabble over the corpse. "Mohammed, get a couple of your lads on the oars. I want to pick up as many of those coconuts as we can." By the time darkness stopped them, they had retrieved 52 of the floating coconuts, sufficient to keep the 7 of them thirst-free for a week. It was cold that night. They crowded together for warmth and watched the underwater pyrotechnics as the shark pack circled the raft in phosphorescent splendor.